Okay, today's daf is Tzadik Dalet, and we were really in the middle of discussing the question. We had two versions in the question that they asked to Rav Sheshes. The first version was, do we believe the when we say is Eid Echad Neman? Does that apply? So we know the rule that one witness is believed to tell a woman that her husband's died in a normal case, and she can just go and remarry. The first version of the question was, what happens if it's for Yevama to tell her that her to be able to do Yibum, so not to be able to go and marry someone else, but there's a situation of Yibum, and the question was, do we trust him or not? So he says. So Rav Sheshes concluded in that version of the question that one witness is believed in that case as well, and he proved it from the Mishnah. Then we had a second version right at the end yesterday, the Ikat the Yomar. The second version of the question was to allow her to do Yibum. Yeah. So to allow her to marry somebody else. To say that the brother-in-law died, and now she's allowed to marry somebody else. Do we trust one witness for that as well? And on that, Rav Sheshes also tried to prove it from our Mishnah. And in the end, the Gemara, so he tried to prove it from the Mishnah. The Mishnah said that in the case, just from the top of the page there, they told her that her husband died, and then the son died, and therefore she wasn't mechuyev in Yibum, and she went and and then she went and married somebody, and then they told it was the other way around. So we said that she has to divorce, and we said both of the kids are, that the kid before she found out or after she found out is a mamzer. And we said that must be talking about Eid Echad, because if it was two against two, you wouldn't rely, why should you rely on the second one and not on the second pair and not on the first pair? And therefore it must be that it was Eid Echad. And why don't we believe the Eid Echad? Only because two came against him. But without the two, he would have believed him. So that was what Rav Sheshes tried to prove. And the last thing we said was that Rav Acha, based on what Rav Acha Bar Minyomi says, that we're talking about Eid Hazama. And your whole logic that says, if it was two witnesses against two, why would you rely on the second one any more than the first one? So he says it's just like with the din of Edim Zomimim, where the Torah gave us the Gzeres HaKosov, that when the second pair of witnesses come and say the first pair were with us at the time, and therefore they couldn't possibly be testifying about whatever it is that they're saying, and therefore it's Gzeres HaKosov that you believe the second pair instead of the first pair. It's just two guys and two other guys. But the Torah says believe the second pair. So here also, the Mishnah is talking about where it was two people who told her that she was allowed to marry somebody else, and then two others who said, why are you believing the second pair, not the first pair? Because it's Xavier Sakosta, similar to Ede Hazama. So so that proof was sort of pushed off, and the Gemara is going to try again. We're holding about 12 lines down, maybe, in the middle of the line, Amalei Rav Mordechai. The line starts with the word Hazama. On the Tzadik Dalet Amud Aleph. Yep, we got it? Okay. The end of the line is Mordechai, because Purim is coming up. Amalei Rav Mordechai l'Ravashi. Rav Mordechai says to Ravashi, v'armi l'Ravacha l'Ravashi. Some say it was Ravacha. Toshema. Let's find a brisa. The brisa says, Ein ha'isha ne'emenes loymar meis yevami she'enosei. We don't believe a woman to say that her brother-in-law died in order to allow her to marry somebody else. So her husband died and she's childless. And she comes and says that the brother-in-law died also, and therefore she's allowed to marry somebody else outside. So we don't believe her to say that, because it could just be that she hates the brother-in-law, and therefore she's saying anything to get herself out of having to marry him. The loy mesa achosi, we also don't believe her to say that her sister died, she'ekones lebesa, because it might be that she wants to marry her sister's husband, she likes him, and therefore, she could be coming along and saying that her sister died in order that she could marry her sister's husband. Yeah, so we don't believe her on that one either, also, because she could be swayed by her infatuation in that case. So what do we see from that, says Rav Acha or Rav Mordechai? He nihi delay mehemna. That means we don't believe her. We don't believe her herself because she is might have these ulterior motives, so therefore she could be not the normal case of Daiku or Minsuba. But what do we see from that? It's Dafka, the Brisa says, when she herself is the one who claims that the brother-in-law died, that's when we don't believe her. Aber ha'ed echad. But if one witness, who was not her herself, a impartial witness comes and says that her brother-in-law died, even though it's only one witness, we mehemet. That implies that we would believe him, and she can go and marry Lashuk, like we said yesterday, to somebody else. So that's what they tried to prove to
Rabbi. Go on the open market.
Go on to the market. So that's what we tried to prove in this case, to say yes, and one witness will be believed in this case, to say that the brother-in-law is dead, and she can go and marry somebody else. So the Gemara says back, or perhaps it was Rav Ashi who said back to Rav Mordechai or to Rav Acha, according to your logic that you're trying to prove it from this Braisa, let's look at the next part of the Braisa. The next part of the Braisa says, Ein ha'ish ne'amon loymar, a man is not believed to say, so this is the flip side, a man is not believed to say, Meis ochi she'ayava mesishtoi. He's not believed to say that his brother has died, so now he can do yibum with the wife. Why? Because he might have his eyes on his brother's wife. So it's in his interest to say that his brother's dead and he can do yibum, and he may not be 100, he might be a little bit loose with the truth, and therefore we don't trust it. V'loi meisa ishti she'esa sachesa. Similarly, he's not believed to say that his wife has died so that he can marry her sister, because he might have had his eyes on her as well, and therefore he may be playing with the truth also on that one. So that's two cases where the man is not believed. So what are we medayik from that? According to your logic, that when the Brisa said she's not believed, and you implied from that, you inferred from that, that a witness that is not her, an independent witness, is believed. So in this case, you would have to say the same thing. If your logic is correct, you'd have to say the same thing in the case where the man says something that we don't believe him. So what are you going to tell me? Hu nihu deloy mehemet, that it's dafke me, does that what the Brisa means? That it's the man himself is not believed to say that his brother died or his wife died. Ha eid echad mehem, and you're going to tell me that one witness is believed to say that? Where did you get such a thing from? The whole reason why we say that one witness is believed for a woman to remarry is because ba'aguna hekilu, they were lenient on a woman, she shouldn't be trapped and not be able to remarry. That doesn't apply to a man, because me'ikar hadin, a man could marry another wife if he's not sure, let's say. Yeah, there's no such thing as an iguna for a man. If a man doesn't sure what happened to his wife, he can marry another woman. Yeah, as long as it's not.
Isn't there such a concept as negei bedava? Either way, he's negei bedava. So that's why we don't
know. No, but you have to say why. What does it mean, negei bedava?
I was thinking about this. If you now say this woman says, she says, I was captured at the Hill Army, we say we believe her.
No, 1 second. We already explained why we believe the woman, when she's even though she's negei bedava, because mitoch shechumer shechmarta le'abaseifa, because she's going to get all those penalties if it's a lie. Yeah, so we believe her that she's going to, or we believe we allow her to trust the one witness, shall we say, because she'll make sure that she doesn't stuff herself up. So that's what we say by a woman, that we were lenient on her. Yeah, because what does the Gemara say? The Gemara says because we're strict on her at the end to give her all these penalties, we can be lenient in the first place and allow her to do whatever she wants and go and get married. So the Gemara then asked, why don't be lenient and don't be strict and don't be lenient? Just don't let her do it altogether. And we said, Mishum Eguna Hikilu, because otherwise you'll have a woman who doesn't know what happened to her husband and she's trapped, she can't remarry. But all that doesn't apply to a man. So the Gemara says, Bishlam Agabe Isha, why do we believe one witness for a woman to remarry, and even the woman herself is believed to say her husband died, Mishum Eguna Hikilu Barabonim, because a woman would be trapped. Literally, aguna means anchored. Again, is an anchor. Yeah, she's anchored into the mud and she can't move. So because of that, the rabbanim were lenient on her, and they said, you know what? If you are confident that the husband's dead, even if we haven't got proper evidence, go ahead and just make sure that you know what you're doing. Elagabe ish ma'ikalamemar. But with the man, why would you rely on even one witness? You wouldn't rely on one witness for a man because it's there's no reason to be lenient, and you need evidence. It's two witnesses, not one witness. So when the Brisa says at the end that a man is not believed to say his brother died or his wife died, it's not implying that one witness would be believed. It's just telling you the din about the man himself. Yeah, you can't make that inference from the words of the Brisa. Why does the Brisa need to tell me bichlal that the man is not believed? Yeah, With a man, we haven't got a gun hekilu, so why does the Brisa need to tell me that I don't believe a man to say his brother died in order to do yibum, and I don't believe him to say his wife died in order to marry her sister? So what? The whole thing is superfluous, yeah? Why should we believe him without proper evidence? So the Gemara explains, because, Ella, what's the pshat in the Sefer? Why did we have to mention the whole thing about the man? Is ki itzrich, the reason why it mentions, needs to tell you that altogether, is the Rabbi Akiva. It would be, because according to Rabbi Akiva, itzrich, it's needed. Why? Solka, Dr. Chamina, you might have thought, hoyovi omar Rabbi Akiva, yesh mamzer mechai v'lamin. Because Rabbi Akiva has the stricter opinion to say that there is a, if there's a forbidden relationship, which is only a love, that produces a mamzer, like we've been saying Rabbi Akiva's shita all along, is ema, so you might have thought, chaysha achla kula desire vedaika. You might have thought, why? So therefore, what are we saying? When the Brisa said it's the man himself, we're talking about the man himself. When the Brisa said the woman herself is not believed, we meant the woman herself. No inferences. Why do you have to tell me that a woman is not believed? Because you might have thought that just like we say that she doesn't want to let herself get messed up, and therefore we trust her because daika umin sabo, you would have said the same thing applies, according to Rabbi Akiva, in a case where she won't be messed up, but the kids will be mamzerim. Yeah? According to Rabbi Akiva, if she goes and marries Yevamah Lashuk, yeah, then the kids are mamzerim. So therefore, you might have thought that if that's the case, just like we say that the woman would not marry unless she's 100% sure because she doesn't want to mess herself up and get all the penalties, you would have said she doesn't want to marry unless she's 100% sure in this case, because even though she's not messing herself up, she's messing up the kids, because the kids will be mamzerim. So you might have thought the same logic applies, that a woman would not put herself in position to... That it might be that the children will be mamzerim, and therefore she would make sure she has 100% sure that the situation is as she thought, that the brother was dead. Kamash Milan, that we don't say that. We don't say that she wouldn't marry because of what might happen to her children. Yeah, so... there's a whole long Rashi over here, just to do it briefly outside. But the reason why we don't believe her is because it could be that she hates the brother-in-law so much, and therefore she's willing to do anything to get out of his clutches, and she'll go and marry Lashuk, even though it's also, and even according to Akiva, that it's a chayv kari, she would do it anyway because she hates him. Yeah, but we don't say that about a husband. When a woman says her husband died, we don't assume that a woman hates her husband so much that she would lie about him being dead in order to get away from him. But by a brother-in-law, we could say that, because she never wanted to, never had any deal with him in the first place. She married one guy, and suddenly the brother's on the scene. Yeah, Rashi gives a whole arichus about the words that we have here in brackets. So that which, according to the brackets, the pshat is that she only worries about herself. She doesn't care about the kids. And Rashi says that that isn't the pshat, because it messes her up also, really, because according to him, according to Rabbi Akiva, she also gets all these, because according to Rabbi Akiva, it's chiv kar, she gets all those, it's a Israel lava, the same as mamzerim, this is not tofus, so she gets all of those penalties according to Rabbi Akiva by Israel lava as well. And therefore, what it says in the bracket, says Rashi, doesn't make sense. Because according to Rabbi Akiva, she would be messing herself up also. If she goes and marries a shug, it will be messing herself up just like everything else. And therefore, Rashi says that the pshat is really in determining how much does she hate the person whose clutches she's trying to get out of. That's what it boils down to. And therefore, we say by the husband, she doesn't hate him that much, and therefore, she said he's dead, we believe her. By the brother-in-law, she may hate him that much, and therefore, we don't believe her to say the brother-in-law's dead. Okay, so that was the end of their proof that they tried to bring, and we ended up saying we cannot prove anything from the Brisa. So now comes Rava. Rava's going to try to give a proof on the same question again. Are we going to believe one witness in the case of Yavama to allow her to marry somebody else and to say that the brother-in-law is dead? Is Rava Omar, beginning of the line. Rava says, Eid Echad Neman B'Yavama. That was our question, right? Do we believe one witness to say that the brother-in-law is dead and she can marry somebody else? Says Rava, yes, he's believed. How do I know that? Mikal v'chomer. I learned it as just a logical kal v'chomer, a how much more so situation. Because the Isser kare is hitarta. You allow her when it's the husband died. So if her husband would still be alive and she goes and marries someone else, so she's chayv kares, she's chayv even misa if it's edim asra, okay? But there can't be edim and asra over here, but there could be she'd be chayv kares. Nevertheless, he tarta. You allowed her to marry this case, which would be an Isser Kores, because we trust her, or we trust the one witness to say that the husband's dead. Is the Isser Lav Lo Kol Shekein? So over here, by Yevam Lashuk, it's only an Isser Lav. Yeah, there's no Kores for Yevam Lashuk. There's how much more so you're going to trust her? Well, if you're trusting one witness to let her do something that would have been an Isser Kores, you should for sure trust one witness to let her do something that's only an Isser Lav. Yeah, and even according to Rabbi Akiva, who says it makes a Mamzer, but it's still only a Lav. So, even Rabbi Akiva would say that it's not as strict as Eishes Ish. Yeah? Because it's not Kores. Even though the kids, he says, are the same thing. So that's what Rava says. Rava says, I don't need any braces, I just learn it logically. So somebody answered to Rava, one of the Rabbonim. One second. He atzma techiach. Your logic, your kavachemer doesn't work. And I can prove that your kavachemer is wrong from she herself. You're trying to prove about one witness. If we believe one witness for an Isser Kores, we should believe one witness for an Isser Lav. No, look at the woman herself. The Isser Kores Hitarato. You believe the woman herself to say that her husband is dead, even though it's an Isser Kores. And the Isser Lav, but to say that the brother-in-law is dead, as we said in the Brisa, Lo Hitarato. We said a woman's not believed to say the brother-in-law is dead. So we believe her to say her husband's dead. We don't believe her to say her brother-in-law is dead. Yeah? Why is it so? The Ella, Ihi my time alay mehemna, why don't we believe her to say the brother-in-law is dead? The Kivin the Zimna the Sanyule, she might hate the brother-in-law so much, and therefore Loy Daika Uminsaba. She's not going to be particular and marry and make sure 100% that everything's okay. She's willing to take a chance. She'll claim that he's dead, and she'll hope that she's right. Or she'll hope no one finds out, and she'll go to marry somebody else. That's why we don't believe her herself. Is Eidachar Nami, same thing with if there's one witness. Kevin the Zimna the Sanyala the Daiku Minsaba. Because she hates the brother-in-law, so she'll go and rely on this one witness without checking out the facts for herself. The whole reason why she's allowed to trust the one witness is because we say that she will satisfy herself 100% that it's true, even though you haven't got evidence that can stand up in court. But if you're saying that when she herself says her brother-in-law is dead, we don't believe her because she would want to get away from him. So the same thing, when one witness tells her that he is dead, she also wouldn't be so careful to make 100% sure because she wants to get away from him. And therefore, we cannot prove it. So the end of this is that we have no proof either way as to whether one witness would be believed to say the brother-in-law is dead to allow her to marry outside into the market. Okay, now we go on the next two dots. This is going back on the words of the Mishnah. The words of the Mishnah was, we had a drasha from Elazar ben Masya that said, in the case where she had kiddushin, yeah, they told her husband died, and she went and took on kiddushin from somebody. So she didn't actually do any relationship. All that happened is the guy gave her a ring and said Arema Kodeshesli, and they broke a glass. And then the husband turned up. So they said, whoops, cancel that. And she goes back to her husband. Yeah? Is the other guy... So what did we say? That if the second guy gave her a get, even though he doesn't need to, but if the second guy gave her a get, that doesn't make her considered a grusha not to be allowed to marry Koyan later on, any truma, etc. Why not? So Rabbi Elazar ben Masya Darshan from the Pasuk. The Pasuk says that a Koyan is not allowed to marry an Isha Gerusha Me'isha. A woman who is divorced from her husband, a Koyan is not allowed to marry. What about if she's divorced from somebody who's not her husband? Then she's still allowed to marry a Koyan. So this guy who was not her husband gave her a get. That doesn't puzzle her from... that doesn't make her be called a grusha that somewhere down the track she could marry a kohen. Okay, that's what Rav Elazar ben Masya said in the Mishnah. Amar Rabbi Yehuda, Amar Rav. Rabbi Yehuda says the name of Rav. You know what? That posuk, you don't really need that posuk to say that when a woman's divorced from someone who's not her husband, she's not considered a divorcee. It's, you know, it's pretty obvious. You don't really need a posuk for that. That's just common sense. Well, if you walk up to a strange woman in the street and give her a get, that doesn't make her a divorcee just because someone who's not her husband gives her a get. And so he says, you don't really need the posuk. And he's sort of used up the posuk on something we could have done better with that, in other words. Rabbi Elazar could have taken this posuk and he could have learned a diamond from this posuk. Such a beautiful posuk to learn out things from. And he learned out a piece of clay. In other words, something that we don't really need, something not valuable. Because what he's learned out, we could have worked out anyway. What was the diamond? My Marganisa, what could he have used the Pasuk to learn out? The Tanya, like it says in the Brisa. The Isha Grusha Meisha, a woman divorced from her husband, is sort of on the contrary. Afila Leinis Garsha Ela Meisha Psura Lekahuna. If she's only divorced from her husband, what does that mean? The normal way a person gives a get is he writes to his wife, Hare Yat Muteres Lechol Adam. You are allowed to marry anybody. I'm cutting you off and you can go marry anybody. What if he writes, I'm divorcing you, but you can't go and marry anybody?
He can't,
but what if he did and he gave it to her?
If he did.
Oh, so the Brisa says that if he did, she's posel the kahuna. Why? It's not a kosher get when it says that. V'hainu reyach haget. It smells like a get, literally. What does that mean? It looks like a get. He says, I'm cutting you off. Yeah. So even though he wrote something invalid, he's not able to write to her that you can't marry someone else. Nevertheless, it looks like a get. It smells like a get. It quacks like a get.
But it's not a get.
The pesel b'kahuna. And that means why she can't marry a kohen after that, because people will think that it was a get. People aren't going to know that there was some monkey business in there.
But she can't go and marry anybody else. She's got to get a new get, doesn't she?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, but so she can't marry a kohen now. Well, let's say he dies,
well,
right?
It can be cancelled and torn up.
He gave it to her already. Now, let's say he dies now. Yeah? So if he hadn't given her this stupid get, she would be an almana. She could marry a kohen. But because he gave her this smelly get, Reyach haget, so therefore she's now considered a grusha in the sense that she can't marry a kohen. It's obviously a gzeira, yeah, because it looks like a get and it smells like a get, so therefore the Chacham said, no, she can't marry a kohen. See, you're not happy with that. So Rabbi Yehuda said this, so you have to accept it.
Would he be allowed to be malzik or shosse with this get? Because he said it wasn't even a get, so he can't even be allowed to be malzik.
If he's a kohen,
yeah.
Chayr or not. Passes the corner. I don't know all the rules about Rechaget, but that's what it's implying. But that's it. So that's where. Yeah.
Very rough decision.
Very rough decision. Well, that was the diamond Rabbi Yehuda wanted to get out of this pasuk. Okay, on that somber note, we'll go on to the next Mishnah. Says the Mishnah Vayter. Now, till now we talked about the husband went overseas and the woman didn't know what happened to him. Now we go that the woman decides, you're going off on overseas holidays by yourself? Now I'm going to go for a holiday by myself. This time the woman went off for a holiday by herself overseas. And then they came and told the husband, who's sitting at home, that his wife has died. So he said, oh well, and he went and married his sister, who was sitting at home also. So he's not allowed to marry the sister Kolzman, his wife's alive, but now he thinks his wife is dead, he goes and marries the sister. And now the wife comes home with all the shopping bags. Is Muteres Lachsaloi. She can go back to him. So this is not the case like we had with the other way around, yeah? When the woman went and married somebody else and the husband came back, she's not allowed to go back to him and she's not allowed to go back to stay with the guy she's with. But the woman comes back and finds her husband has married her sister. So the sister goes back home and the wife goes back to him. Because the wife didn't do anything wrong. She didn't have any forbidden relationship. And because he had a tryst with the sister, does not make the wife answer to him. Not only that, but his whole thing that he had with the sister were going to wipe from the record books. And therefore, he could marry relations of the sister. Whatever relative of a wife a person can't marry, the wife's sister, the wife's mother, etc. A person and his wife's daughter is not allowed to marry. But in this case, the sister is not considered his wife. He was never married to her because his wife was still alive. He doesn't have to give her a get. And he can marry her relatives. So Shnia Muteres Bikrevav, and she can marry his relatives. V'imesa Rishayna. And if the original wife then does die eventually, Mutter Bishniya, he can marry the sister. So that's all. There's no problem. There's no penalties applied over here. What happens if Amrulay Mesa Ishta Vanasasa Chaisav? First they said to him that his wife died, and then he married the sister. And then they said, oh, whoops. But the time when we told you the first time that she was dead, she was really still alive. And therefore, at that point, you weren't allowed to marry the sister. But now she's actually dead. So what does that mean? Any kids that they had while the wife was still alive will be mamzerim. Is avlad rishon is mamzer. A child born before she actually died, that means it was an isur karis of a chayis ishto, and therefore the kids are mamzerim. But a achren ain't a mamzer. Any child born after the wife really did die, so then there's obviously not a mamzer. Rabbi Yosi Emer, kol she poisel al yadei acherim, poisel al yadei atzmai. V'chol she ein poisel al yadei acherim, ein poisel al yadei atzmai. At this point, we don't have any idea what that means. And Rashi promises us the Gemara Mefarish Lah. So we'll wait for the Gemara to understand what that means. I could translate the words, but we won't go into what the meaning is. Someone who passels himself passels other people. Someone who passels other people. Someone who doesn't passel other people doesn't passel himself. Doesn't mean anything. We'll get to it in the Gemara. Rashi says the Gemara Mefarish Lah. The Gemara is going to explain it. But Rashi didn't want to reproduce the Gemara in the Rashi just to help you understand it. So we'll get to it. So he promises us that the Gemara is going to explain it, because you look at those words, we don't know what it means. Rashi does that sometimes.
Why?
Because he doesn't want to reproduce the whole Gemara. He hasn't got anything to add. All he's saying is that it will become clear when you learn the Gemara later. So just like referring you to the Gemara. If you haven't got patience, you can go and skip a few pages now and learn it. But we'll wait till we get to it, especially since I haven't prepared yet. Okay, says the Gemara. So what happens? The person's wife went overseas, and he married her. He thought that she was dead, and he married her sister. She can go back to him. Yeah, that's what we said. His wife can go back to him when she comes back from overseas. Says the Gemara, the afal gavda ozel ishte v'gisalim dinas sayom. Listen to this case: the wife and his brother-in-law went overseas. So two guys are married to two sisters. Yeah, two guys are married to two sisters. And the guy's wife and his brother-in-law, who's married to his wife's sister, went overseas together. Don't ask me why. Yeah, they went overseas, and they said that they were claimed to be dead. Yeah, they said this. Somebody claimed that his wife is dead, and and your husband's dead. That, they told them both that they were dead. So they both decided. Malaysian air flights. So the widow and the widower decided, you know what, let's marry, because they're gone. So they married. So even then, we're going to say that when they come back and we're really alive, they found the plane, and they're really alive. So then, the husband is allowed to take his wife back, but the wife isn't allowed to go back to her husband, even though it's the same. Yeah. Same plane. Yeah? So what do we see from that? That marriage, that alleged marriage, that projected marriage that the guys back here, the husband and the sister-in-law had here, that helps. So what do you mean helps? It achieves the kamitzra eshes gisay agisay, that the brother-in-law's wife is not allowed to go back to him because she's a normal case of a woman who thought her husband died and remarried. Yeah, so she can't go back to her husband. Afilu haki eishes gisa yasira, but eishto isharia. Even though his wife, his brother-in-law's wife cannot go back to him, his own wife can go back to her. So it's the same testimony. Yeah, they were on flight MH370, and they said it crashed and everyone's dead. Yeah, so the same testimony that told him to go and marry her, told her to go and marry him. And when it turns out that it's wrong and it didn't crash, so for him, he's allowed to take his wife back. But for her, she's not allowed to take her husband back, even though it's the same testimony. We don't say that that because the sister-in-law is now usher to the brother-in-law, because it's a woman who's married, who's been with someone else while she's still married, extend the isra to him, and we keep each rule by itself. The rule is, when a woman thought her husband was dead and remarried, she cannot go back to him. When a man thought his wife was dead and married, she can go back to him. And we keep that rule, even though it's the same plane. And we don't say that we're going to extend the isra. So that is Okay, so that's just an interesting deal from the Mishnah.
To the moral of the story.
Now the moral of the story is don't fly Asian airlines. Okay, says the Mishnah, Vaitulem, Masis Lunar Kabakiva. We should say our Mishnah is not going to quench Rabbi Akiva. What is Rabbi Akiva? Rabbi Akiva, Havalayachez Grushosoi. According to Rabbi Akiva, he's going to have to give. He's going to have to give the sister-in-law a get. What happened was, he thought that his wife was dead and he married his sister-in-law. So when he finds out his wife's alive, he's going to have to give his sister-in-law a get. Once he gives his sister-in-law a get, even though she wasn't really married to him, it smells like a get, and therefore he's got his wife is going to become the sister of his divorcee. Because he gave his sister-in-law a get. So now his wife is a ches grushasai. The Tanish, we learned in the Braisa, anytime a person tries to marry someone who is a forbidden relationship, he doesn't need to give her a get. A person who marries his sister does not need to give her a get. Because we know that it was never valid in the first place. Except the case that we mentioned before, that this woman who married according to one witness, because then people will confuse it and think that she's really married because she had permission, etc. Therefore, she needs a get from the guy that she married to. And Rabbi Akiva is Moisif Af Eisha Sach V'Chayis Isha. Also the brother's wife, but also the wife's sister. So therefore, according to Rabbi Akiva, when he accidentally married his wife's sister and found that he wasn't allowed to, he still needs to give her a get. Because it doesn't look good otherwise. Yeah? The cave in the Omar Rabbi Akiva boy gets, since Rabbi Akiva says she needs a get, Memela Itzrele. So now she's divorced, and therefore his own wife is a Ches Grushase, the Havale Ches Grushase. So therefore the Gemara tries to say that it's Mishnah must not be according to Rabbi Akiva. Says the Gemara, no. Balav Itzmar Allah, didn't we explain about that? Omar Rav Gidl, Omar Rav Chir, Bar Yosef, Omar Rav, Hai Eisha Soch, Hei Chidomi. What was the case there where Rabbi Akiva is Moisi for Eisha Soch, the brother's wife that needs a get? Where it was only Kiddushin, where his brother, so when the first guy was married, only Kiddushin, not Nisuin. So one brother made Kiddushin with a woman, and he went overseas, and then the guy who's still here. So Reuven did Kiddushin and went overseas. Shimon hears that Reuven's died, and goes and marries the wife. The Amri Inchi, because there people will think that Shimon really was married to her. Because there was only Kiddushin, people will think that Hach Kama, when Reuven made Kiddushin, Tanai Havalebi Kiddushin. It was a conditional Kiddushin. I was marrying her al Manas on condition that something happens. And it didn't happen. And therefore, Hai Shapir Nasa, people will think that Shimon really married her. And therefore, that's why she needs a get from Shimon in that case. So that's the case of Eish Esach. So the case which Rabbi Akiva is Moisif also of a Chayis Isha Hechidami, he did Kiddushin with Rachel, and Rachel went overseas, and he heard that Rachel died, and he went and married Leah. The Amri Inchi, so people will think that's the same thing, that when he married Rachel, he did Kiddushin with Rachel, people will think that there was a Tznai in the Kiddushin, and therefore, it didn't get fulfilled. As Havale Kiddushin, v'hashaper nasa. When he married Leah, it was a valid marriage, and that's why he needs to give a get. Ela nisuin. But if he had nisuin with the first one, you can't have a tznai in nisuin because it's a be'ila. People don't make a tznai in the be'ila and boil you on manas something else. Yeah, and therefore, people are not going to think that it was al tznai. Is me ikul amemra tznai havale b'nisuin? Yes, it's working. But people are not going to think that there was a tznai in the nisuin. And therefore, in that case, Rabbi Akiva will be masking that you don't need to give a get to the second one. And therefore, when the Mishnah says that she can go back to him and it's not a ches grushosoi, is even according to Rabbi Akiva. It's Amalet of Rashi of Kahana, just a minute. If Rabbi Akiva, if our Mishnah is according to Rabbi Akiva, is this the Nami Chamoisoi, why does he only mention the sister? He should mention the mother-in-law as well, because the same thing applies with the mother-in-law. Because Rabbi Akiva learns out, so we have a pasuk. The pasuk says that a person who marries a woman and her mother, it says, that you have to give them sreifa, you burn them in fire, him and them. So what does it mean, them? Who's the them over here? A woman and a mother-in-law. I mean, why would you give a punishment to the first wife? She didn't do anything wrong. So what's the pshat over here? The Tanya we learned in the Braisa. What's the pshat? Is Rabbi Yishmael said, according to Rabbi Yishmael, it's just a way of speaking. It means him and the one of them that did the Aveira, which means the mother-in-law, but not the original wife. She didn't do anything wrong. So when it says Eshen, it doesn't mean you give them both Sreifa. It means the one of them who deserves Sreifa. That's Pashto Pshat Rabbi Shmuel gives. Rabbi Akiva Omer, Oisevi Eshteyeh. No, it means him and both of them. What's both of them? So it must be that they were both Osir. So one was the mother-in-law, and the other one was the mother-in-law's mother. Yeah, and it's not talking about the wife itself. Yeah, so we have a whole machlokes over here. What is the difference? How did Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Akiva come to their different conclusions? In halacha, they're both going to agree. Yeah, they're both going to agree that their mother-in-law is chayav sreifa. The wife herself for sure is not chayav sreifa because she didn't do anything. The mother-in-law's mother, Rabbi Akiva learns that from this pasuk, and as Rashi says, Rabbi Shmuel also holds that the mother-in-law's mother is b'sreifa, but he learns it out from Gzeira Shava. So in halacha, there's no difference between Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Akiva. So Abaye says, what's the difference? The difference is how they decide to learn the psukim, but they come to the same conclusion in the pasuk. Is bishlama the Abaye the Amashmas darshan yikubinai? According to Abaye, the way he learns that machlekas over there in Sanhedrin is that it's only to do with how you learn the psukim. Rabbi Shmuel says when it says Eshen, it's talking only about the mother-in-law. Rabbi Akiva Sava Tartiksiv, and Rabbi Akiva says it's talking about the mother-in-law, and the grandmother-in-law is Shapir, so then it's okay. So therefore, according to Rabbi Akiva is learning out the mother-in-law's mother from here, and he's not talking about La'achar Misa. Yeah, you tried to say, what was the question that Rav Ashi wanted to ask him, that Rabbi Akiva holds chamoisei la'achal misa la b'sreifa. He wanted to say that chamoisei, after the daughter dies, is allowed to marry the mother-in-law. So it's the same thing, it's the same analogy as the sister. After the wife dies, he can marry the sister. After the wife dies, he can marry the mother-in-law. So if you hold mashmois dorshin ikir binayu, you have nowhere to say that Rabbi Akiva holds that the mother-in-law, la'achar misa, is mutter. And therefore we'll say Rabbi Akiva, that's why Rabbi Mishnah doesn't mention the mother-in-law, because even according to Rabbi Akiva, the mother-in-law is still osur. So it's not the same as the sister-in-law. So that's the posh pshat according to Abaye. Yeah. Ella the Rava. Now, Rava has a different way of explaining the argument between Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Akiva. According to Rava, the argument between Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Akiva is as follows. That the argument, what are they arguing about? They're arguing about about the case of the mother-in-law after the wife died. That's why it says Eshen. According to Rabbi Akiva, Eshen means that they have to both be alive. Yeah, why does it say burn them? It means you only punish one of them, the one who did the Aveira. So why does it say Eshen? Because they have to both be alive. That if the wife is still alive and he had an affair with the mother-in-law, then it's Chayv Sreifa. But if the wife is dead and he had an affair with the mother-in-law, then it's not Chayv Sreifa. That's what Rabbi Akiva learns. According to Rava, that's what Rabbi Akiva learns. So according to Rava, there's actually a machlokes in halacha between Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Akiva. According to Rabbi Akiva, we will learn out here that the isser of a mother-in-law applies only when the wife is alive, just like the sister-in-law is only also when the sister is alive. And according to Rabbi Shmuel, the isser remains even after the wife died. Yeah. So says Rava. So according to Rava, according to Rabbi Akiva, is once the wife is dead, it's mutter to marry the mother-in-law. So it's exactly the same as when a wife died, he can marry the sister-in-law. So why doesn't the Mishnah mention chamoisei? El the Rava de Omar chamoisei la'chamisei kibinayu. According to Rava, the argument should be given in Mishmael is whether the din of a mother-in-law, the isra of a mother-in-law, applies after the wife died. Is according to Rava, Rabbi Akiva says it doesn't apply. Is listed in Amichamoisei. So why doesn't the Mishnah mention the mother-in-law as well? Why does it only mention the sister-in-law? So the Gemara answers no, because Amalei Rav Ashi or Rav Kahana answered him, Nehi demiat akrami sreifa. It's true that according to Rabbi Akiva, there is no sreifa on a mother-in-law if the wife is dead already. But Isura mimiat akrami, he doesn't say it's mutter to marry the mother-in-law. The Isur is still there. The Isur of a mother-in-law applies even after the wife died. The punishment of sreifa is not there. Yeah, but since the Isur is still there, he can't mention it in the Mishnah. Yeah, because the Mishnah is talking about that she's muteris lachzoloi, which would not apply in the case of the mother-in-law, even after the wife is dead. So then the Gemara asks quickly, v'tayasa b'shchiva da'achosa, why don't we say that when this guy had a relation with his sister-in-law, that makes his wife foster onto him? Midi da'ava, Just like when the woman went overseas. Yeah? Just like when the husband went overseas. So the woman who went and married somebody else is now also to her husband. Why don't we say that the husband having a relation with somebody else, i.e. his wife's sister, makes him also to her, or they're also to each other? So the Gemara says, Loi Dami, it's not the same thing. Ishtoi, a wife who goes and marries somebody else, who goes and has an affair with somebody else. The Bemezid Asira Midaraisa. If she did it intentionally, she mamish went and had an affair when her husband was still alive. She is min ha-toira, not allowed to go back to her husband. It is b'shoigeg, so over here what happened, it was a shoigeg. She thought her husband was dead, after all. Nevertheless, all these penalties apply. Gazu ba-rabbana. The rabbana gave her a penalty in this case, because if she had done it on purpose, it would be a min ha-toira. So the chachami made a gzeira. But achois isha, if a person has an affair mamish with his sister-in-law, without thinking that his wife was dead, b'mezit, lo yasiru midaraisa, even in ha-toira, that doesn't make his wife osir on him. Is b'shoigig. So when he thought his wife was dead, like Gazer Rabban, and the rabbis didn't even make a zera at all. All right, we'll leave it over here.